If you've got a Bible this evening, we won't preach long for sake of time, but in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, if you would stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found tonight. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. If you have a Scofield Bible, you can find it around page 698, 699, 700. A lot of folks have wondered who wrote this book. Well, I can tell you who ultimately wrote it. God wrote it. Matter of fact, He wrote all 66 of them, neighbor. And it'll do to live by every one of them. The Bible said, verse number 1, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, they had no comforter, and on their side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter." Verse number 7, "Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yet he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity, yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone, when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?" Verse 12. "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." Thank you for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the Word of God. We had looked at this thought this morning. I didn't get to verse number 12. But we shared the thought with you in verse number 9. Oh, how sad it is to be alone. We need each other. You know, I found out it's okay to agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, this is the end of the deal. This is the real deal. All roads don't lead to heaven. If you took a survey, my wife likes that show, A Family Feud. Reminds me of a Baptist church. Amen. Boy, you get 100 questions, you'll get 100 different answers. And so if you would take a poll tonight about how to get to heaven, you'd have all kind of different answers. But I'm glad that our Bible says there's one way to heaven, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by Me," is what He said. Now you'll notice in these verses of way of outline in verse number 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. We need each other for working. Isn't it a blessing to work with people? But we need each other in the day of working. Then in verse 10, it said, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. When he falleth, he hath not another to help him. We need each other for walking. Aren't you glad we've got each other to support and to help one another? Can I remind you, there are no big ones, there are no little ones. We're all just one mistake, one step from a big mess up. But aren't you glad that God specializes in mess-ups? All through the Bible, He never did use Prince Charming, but He used those folks that made mistakes. He used the nobodies that made them somebody by the good grace of God. God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for failure. He's looking for somebody that wants Him to be their God. And so certainly tonight, if you're here in a failure, you're a candidate for who He's looking for. And we find we need each other in our walking. Verse number 11 said, two together, back to back, in a in a desert surrounding as those nomads would camp. They would back, and they would get body heat from one another. Aren't you glad we can get warmth and love one from another? And then number four, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. I like that. That's the way we did things in the country. Amen. If we was in the family, somebody jumped on one, you had to whoop the whole family. Somebody say amen right there. I like that kind of Bible doctrine. And so he said we need each other in our watching. But we ought to stick together as the people of God. You may be here tonight. You may be Church of God. You may be Assembly of God. You may be good old Baptist folk. You may be Methodist. You may be Episcopalian. I don't know what you are. But I can tell you this, if you're saved by the grace of God, honey, we've all got one God and one heaven we're going to. And I'm glad we can get together and watch one for another. Now watch this. The Bible said, verse number 12, now something comes up. He's talking about two. But all of a sudden, and the Bible said, verse 12, one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I see here somebody butted in. I'm glad tonight there was a time in my life when God butted in. He said, two of you do, but three's real good. I'm glad I've got the Father. I'm glad I've got the Son. And I'm glad I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad those three are one and they agree in one tonight. And I sure am glad that the Lord lives in me. I'm glad one day He saved me and He butted into my life. You say, preacher, God don't butt in. Oh yeah? Well, turn to Ephesians chapter number 2 this evening. You'll find out where God butted in our life. I sure am glad that He put His nose in my business. Amen. Because I guarantee you one thing, friend. I wasn't looking for Him, but I sure am glad He come a looking for me. Ephesians chapter number 2, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this old world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God. I ought to run tonight, but it scares some of you. I'm glad, but God. I'm glad one day God butted in my life. When I wasn't looking for Him, I'm glad He come my way and butted in my life tonight. He said, but God, talking about how wicked and how evil that we all were. You'll notice this, but God, who's rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Now, I want to say tonight, you cannot live for God until you receive life from God. You can try to do better all you want to, neighbor. And I tell you, living right is still right. And you can try to go by the law of the Ten Commandments, but you know what? You're going to come up short. We're going to come up a failure. We cannot live by the rules of the law. We've all had enough thoughts today. We've all had things go on in our heart that only God knows about. That we broke, we are transgressors of the law. But I sure am glad that, I'm glad that Jesus came and got on an old rugged cross and took the law of God by His blood and sealed the deal for me and you. And now by faith we look toward Calvary and what Jesus has done. He satisfied the law of God, the propitiation of God, His only Son. Now when we believe in Christ, it's a lot better than the law. A lot of people's miserable in their religion because they're trying to do. Can I tell you, honey, grace says it's done, done, done tonight. Oh, I'm glad I live by the grace of God. You say, well, preacher, do you have a license to sin? Oh, no, neighbor. He said when we are saved, we receive the Spirit of God, and we can't do what we used to do. And I can't live by the letter of the law. But I'm glad when I mess up, He lets me know I messed up by who's living in me tonight. You don't even got to tell me I messed up. He tells me I messed up. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Glad God butted in. Three things tonight keeps people from being saved. He describes it. You'll notice, first of all, as I've already said, you cannot live a life for God until you receive life from God. We were all dead in trespasses and sin is what the Bible said. And so I'm going to say there's three opposing forces of evil that are responsible for holding man in the state of spiritual death. First of all, it is the world. Look at it. You'll notice in verse number one, and you hath he quickened or made alive who was dead. Spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. Now, you know where we got that? We got it way back under from the garden. God told Adam, He said, if you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. It was passed on from that generation to your and my generation tonight. We're all sinners. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And we see tonight, certainly that by one man's sin, sin came upon all mankind. Now we were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now, the word world, it has to do with the age. It means certainly tonight the age in which we live. The world holds people back from God. The world is a resistance to the things of God. Here, this world word, it means age. It means the nature responds to the direction of the age, the god of this age. And the god of this age is Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, the Bible will back this up, that he is the god of this nature, of this age. 2 Corinthians 4. And verse number 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid of them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this world, I'm going to tell you, it pulls at another direction from God. The Bible tells us over in the book of Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2 about this world. Be careful about this world. He said this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now this world is on a course. It's on a downhill course. That world pulls at us. It means the age. It means the culture. But can I tell you, wrong's still wrong. And right is still right. There's a heaven to gain and it's a hell to shine. And I don't care what any liberal preachers told you, honey. Heaven's sweet and hell is hot tonight. And I'm telling you, the world pulls against sinners in such a way. And then not only do we find one of the opposing forces of evil is that of the world, but secondly, it is the devil. Look in verse number 2. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, there is a devil, and he blinds the eyes of men. Satan separates men from God. There's a spiritual struggle. I've seen a lot of times, at invitation times, how the devil loves to distract. Boy, God will start dealing with people's heart. And there's no doubt in my mind tonight there would be one here that's never been born again by the grace of God. You know the last thing the devil wants is you under the sound of the gospel. He'll let you go to every ball game in the country. He'll let you go to every drama team in the nation. But honey, he don't want you under old time Holy Ghost preaching in a King James Bible by the Word of God. He's a real devil. He loves to steal the Word and he'll keep you from getting saved tonight. Boy, the devil loves to abstract and distract, get people off track. You know, he senses people. He senses that their intellect is being maybe prodded. He senses that their spirit is touched. He senses that something's going on in them when they decide to start turning from their wicked lifestyle and their wicked ways and get to thinking about being saved. And the devil, he'll talk to you, friend. He's a talking devil. He'll tell you, well, you've got tomorrow. Well, y'all ask King Agrippa if he had another day. Amen. He told Paul, he said, leave and come back for a more convenient season. It may not be tomorrow. Friend, let me tell you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're on dangerous ground and eternity's too long to be wrong tonight. Boy, there are forces that pull men from God. One is the world. Number two is the devil. Boy, he hates a Holy Ghost preaching church. Boy, the devil hates the Word of God. He knows what it can do. It can open the eyes of a sinner. He knows there's hope in that book. He knows there's love and compassion in that book. And the last thing he wants is for you to get saved by the grace of God. He's a wicked devil. He's a two-faced devil. He'll show you all the pretty billboards. He'll show you the Budweiser commercials. He'll show you all the pretty cheerleaders. He'll show you all the finer things of life that I say. But he won't show you the backside of what sin does. He won't show you what I've seen in the hospitals and in the funeral homes. He's a backstabbing devil. He's not your friend tonight. You better wake up and get out of your religious state and get born again by the grace of God. Eternity's way too long to be wrong. Three forces that pull men from God. One is the world. Two is the devil. Number three, he tells it is the flesh. The Bible said the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, with our sin-controlled nature, we formally behave to our sensual appetites. Boy, I'm going to tell you, a hog loves slop. And now, I'm going to tell you, I may make you sit back on your heels when I'm fixing to tell you, but sin is fun. And sin is addictive. But sin is destructive. And sin is only for a season. And you listen to me, child of God, tonight. We may be saved, but this flesh is not saved. And the Bible mentioned the mind of the flesh. This mind hits rewind. And it wants to send us back to the places we used to go. And this flesh wants to go back and do things that we know that it's not supposed to do. But aren't you glad that you've got a Jesus that lives in you that you can turn to? And if you yield to Him, He said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Boy, this flesh loves slop. This thing's been saved since 81. That's over 30 years, neighbor. And let me tell you, sin's still appealing to me. This flesh still has appetites. My Lord, I could get a chew of tobacco tonight. It would choke a mule. Somebody holler amen. Boy, if you can chew it, you just go right on and enjoy it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I found out my convictions ain't your convictions. But you know once you get saved, some things you can do I can't do. And some things that I can do and you can't do. So if I'm doing them, you just leave me alone if it ain't contrary to that book. Boy, the lust of the flesh. This is what the devil will tell you. Well, if you'll get saved, your fun's over. Can I ask y'all something? Did you see people in the choir? Anybody not having fun tonight? Would you look at this overweight, bald-headed preacher and tell me I ain't having the time of my life tonight? The devil said you walk out of your public job, you'll be a failure. You'll be a nothing. I said, I already know that, devil. Tell me something I don't know. Then he said, you'll never have nothing. Honey, let me tell you, I'm not clothed in rags tonight. But let me tell you, if I was in a pair of blue jeans and a pair of Brogan shoes and know that my name was written down yonder in glory land, thank God, I'd be the richest man in the world. Thank God there's nothing like Christ. There's nothing like being born again by the God. Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Well, I tell you, I'm running on things that we can never get me to tonight. I'm running on things that the bottle could only get there and then leave me. But I'll wake up in the morning. I'm not hung over. Don't have headache. Know how I got home and can remember about everything I said. Boy, I'm going to tell you, the devil, he knows his flesh is real. This flesh will tell you if you get saved, your fun's over. Let me tell you what, you look at Hollywood, are they having fun? What about the NFL player that was drafted this week? One of the finest young men, they said. Boy, he had hit the big time. I believe he was with Kansas City. He went and killed his girlfriend, went and killed himself in front of his coach. Boy, that high style living really did pay him off, didn't it? Boy, you look out there in Hollywood, you take a look at all that glimp and glitter. Honey, let me tell you something. They may go get their hair done. They may go get their nails done. But there's things up under that this world cannot fix. And I'm glad the God of heaven fixes on the inside, friend. There's people looking for everything in all the wrong places, but I'm glad there's somebody tonight that they sang about called the Lord Jesus Christ. He took your sin and my sin, and He nailed them on an old rugged cross, and He said if we could believe in Him, He'd save us and forgive us of all of our sin. And He said, I write these things unto you that you may know. Well, I know I got eternal life. Because I know in whom I believe. Amen. That Sunday morning, I was sitting where my son-in-law was, and I don't even know what the old man of God preached, but I know he'd come to my trailer that Saturday, told me about the love of Jesus, and when he left, something happened that had never happened to me in my life. God stayed. And that Sunday morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, God sent this little old boy. He gave me another chance. He gave me an invitation. And when I stepped out of the pew and done that, my whole life changed. My wife got a new husband. My children got a new daddy. I got gloriously saved by the grace of God. Three things keep people from God abutting in. One's the world, one's the devil, three's the flesh. But now look at God's side, and I'll be done. I sure am glad He butted in. Isn't that just like God? You know, I used to make fun of what we're doing tonight, old time religion. Why, I was raised in a little old calm Church of Christ church. If I'd seen somebody shout, the building would have fell. The most exciting thing I'd ever seen in the church when our song leader fell asleep, fell out of the pew and caught himself, raised up and said, amen. That's the closest thing to any church service I'd ever been around. But the very thing that I used to laugh about, and by the way, I'm going to tell you how wicked I was before we go home. I went to Collinsville one day at the trade day on Saturday. There's an old preacher. Got up on the tailgate, pulled up and let his tailgate down. He got up there and I was with some boys running with the wrong crowd. Some things I said, God ought to struck me dead. God ought to fried me like a piece of bacon. But God. Woo! But God, when I was a minding my own business, God butted right in my, but God, who's rich in mercy, and for His great love, wherewith He has loved us. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad He stepped in my life. A threefold cord's not easily broken, neighbor. Now watch this. First of all, mercy. But God who's rich. God ain't broke. He's rich. Look what He's rich in. Mercy. You know what mercy is? It's God's pity and compassion upon the sinner for what the sinner does not deserve. Somebody said, God's not fair. We better be glad He ain't. I'm glad we didn't get justice, friend. I'm glad we got mercy. I said, God, I wish You'd save me. And His mercy reached to where I was. I couldn't pay Him off. I had nothing to buy Him off with. He can't be bought off. I couldn't work. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But God, who's rich in mercy. Mercy. Do you need mercy tonight? You know something? I wish that we as Christians would realize how God found us and let us go to acting a little like that. I'm not talking about condoning sin. I'm not talking about having a pep rally when somebody falls in sin. I'm simply talking about old-fashioned Christianity. We need to show some mercy. Now, these people in this church needs mercy. Some of you tonight, you better hope to the God in heaven and you ought to pray that you don't get justice. I sure am glad I didn't get what I deserved. I got mercy. Mercy. Glad He's a God of mercy. Somebody said, well, how could a God of mercy send me to hell? Well, He don't send you to hell. You send your own self to hell. He created hell for the devil and his angels, friend. He gave the best thing He had to get you out of hell. You'll send your own self to hell. Three redeeming facts. His rich mercy. And then that's God's pity and compassion on the sinner for that which he doesn't deserve. And then in verse 4 you'll see His great love. But God who's rich in mercy for His great love. You know something? I'm a granddaddy. And I'm not ashamed of it. I've got a little grandboy right here tonight. Did you know I love this child in such a way, Brother Tim, I didn't know my heartstrings could be touched, Miss Flo. But did you know, and I love you people tonight, I'm the majority of you, Pastor. If you'd call me, I'd walk to you. But I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't give him for you. And I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't put him on the cross for you. And I wouldn't put him on the cross for me. But God's great love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank Him He's rich in mercy, and thank Him He's great in love. He's been walking with me a long time now. Listen to me. He's never turned His back on me. I've turned it on Him. But I sure am glad He does that. And lastly, not only His rich mercy and His great love, but His amazing grace. Verse 5, we were dead in sins. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 8, Miss Sherry, if you'd come tonight. Brother David, I want you to lead me that old song. Can y'all play Oh Why Not tonight? Can we have that old song? Grace. Grace is everything for nothing. It's helping the helpless. Look what he said in verse number 8. Well, preacher, I want to know something. I've never been saved, but I know I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. Preacher, I believe there's a heaven. I believe it's a hell. Well, look what the Bible said. Let's see what the Bible says how we can get to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace through faith. What is that? Grace is God putting His Son on the cross. Faith is your part. He's given every man a measure of faith, what the Bible said. And it's up to you whether your heart will access that faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus that died for you on the cross. Tell me why you wouldn't be saved tonight. I know we're going to baptize some shortly. I sure am glad that God's still moving and saving in this day and hour. But tonight, out of the bottom of my heart, I'm telling you, if you'd come to Christ, He'd do something for you that religion, nor the world, nor works or money or things can do. The grace of God. I'm glad He saves all. All that have come to Him by faith in His Son, He would save them.